We'll be good.
What's up, my fellow Nomies of the NAR Nation? This is the NAR Nomies MTB podcast, episode 49. And we are doing a good old roundtable for this one. We've done a lot of formal interviews, which I do like. I do like getting to know all these cool folks. And we've dropped some big ones lately with both the Jared's Place owners and Squirrely Dave and a bunch of others. But I like to get back to the roots, get back to the people. And back to the Nomies and just kind of have a conversation and catch up on what's going on these days. So we're in May now. We're getting close to summer. And yeah, we got our good first guest joiner from the Nomies group is Mr. Colby, Mr. Fashionista. Welcome aboard.
Oh, man. How are you? Good to be back.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I feel like you've rubbed off on me a little bit, actually. I did a like a little bit of a what you would call a XC Lycra weenie ride.
Nice, yeah.
I was inspired by you. You were like, it just feels so good. And I was like, you're right.
You feel faster. You know, honestly, once summer hits here, I'm like, anything short of being naked, I'm more than okay with. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it was nice. I hadn't done it in years, but my body definitely fits Lycra better now. It's less offensive. So I lost the weight. Before I'd wear it, and I was like, this is bad. It's always felt good and fast, but you even see like the downhillers now wearing skin suits.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in that sport where, like, granted, this first race at Fort William was a little bigger of separation between the top five in terms of seconds, but sometimes it's down to like fractions of a second and just a little bit of aerodynamic efficiency on those straightaways is going to help like close that gap or widen that gap. So, yeah.
It is tight. It's tight racing these days. And like, dude, how about that ASA? Holy crap. That kid.
Yeah, man. That I loved watching him on the it's probably actually one of my favorite YouTube series. I don't know if they're gonna do it again this year or not, but they had the Downhill Southeast YouTube series, and it had I don't know what his name is, but I think Simi Cindy was like one of the hosts for it. And he did a lot of the broadcasting and whatnot. And their coverage, I think, was like on par with, you know, what Discovery and UCI have done for or not done, I guess, for downhill now that they've taken it away from Red Bull. They've at least gotten that rid of that one announcer that, like, I don't knock anybody whose second language is English. I get it. Like, it's hard to speak in a language that's not your own and express yourself, but all he did was just mimic exactly what the other guy said. And I'm like, this adds no value, like, at all to this commentary.
Yeah. I just love Asa because I don't know if you've watched his interviews because he's such a bro. He's like,
he's a Colorado
bro. He's like, I'm just here getting stoked and riding the bike and doing it really fast. And it's for real, like, awesome. It's just like, he doesn't even have like any sort of like, you know, like a lot of the pros talk about all the particulars.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I'm just rad and happy to be here and, you know, just shredding. It's like he shows up for his first World Cup ever and he was like, beats everyone by 6 seconds, would have been in the top 10 in elite. And he's just like, oh, that was cool. Yeah, I like that.
He's been awesome to watch him. And like, I mean, now Jackson's out of the youth division and unfortunately injured, but it's just really cool to see these guys who are so young and have so few reps under their belt, but just absolutely come out swinging. Like, I mean, and that just like, that's where you realize, like, it doesn't matter how much training you do and how much physical ability you have and how many times you race a course. There's some people who are just innately better. Like, they operate differently, or they have just that little extra bit that makes them different, that, like, you know, luckily they found the sport because they were very much so born for it.
Did you hear about their the frameworks? I think, yeah, you did. You mentioned in our Slack the whole how they got broken into and all that. That sucks.
Yeah, I'm curious, like, how. So I was reading it, and maybe they didn't get all the facts straight. They said the whole van got stolen, and I'm like, man, that's like that. That sounds like a more, like, if you can steal a van, like, that means you've got some pretty nifty equipment to get across like anti-theft deterrent in a vehicle. And also you very much knew what you were targeting. Like
they did. And luckily they had air tags. So they found,
yeah, they found the van, right?
And then they found some of the gear, but then a lot of the bikes are gone.
Sure.
And then Nico actually had to fly back to the U.S. to get more bikes. And really show you the scene. A bunch of people that bought those frames were like, hey, we'll give you back our frames to use for the race and then just send them back when you're done. And he was like,
that's that would be incredible. Yeah, just sign it, please, too.
yeah, exactly. And say, mine won the World Cup. But he was like, no, I don't want to break your frames. Well, he flew back, got some more. And so I think
okay,
but it's just like going through the ringer. That Asa kid broke his hip like 7 weeks ago and he's already
It's already back on the bike. Yeah.
And then they get broken into and all the stuff stolen. And it's like one thing if it happens to like Specialized, but this happened to a boutique little mom pop shop.
Oh yeah, everything's bespoke. They're hand fabricating everything. Yeah, it's not like, oh, we've got 100 of these bikes that were manufactured in our Taiwanese facility just sitting on the ready. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, it's fun to watch. It's been a lot of fun to watch. I guess one of the last times I rode with you was when we did Soap and you got me on a Columns ride. You got me roadieing.
Yeah. You got to get that endurance pace. I think we were talking about, that last time that I was on, it was a segment of my life that I had missed. Like I've always ridden bikes. I didn't have a car in college. And even in high school, I went to what's called a residential high school. Think of like a boarding school, but it's state funded and it's girls and guys. So I've always had a bike, always like loved being on two wheels.
I love how you casually like got me to do that. You're like, hey, yeah, so I'm going to do a quick lap. And then I don't know if you want to join, I'm going to do Columns. And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've done that before. You mean like the road? And you're like, yeah. And I was like, okay. I was tired of doing the same stuff. So I was like, I'll follow you. And then like next thing I know, I'm like dragging behind you and you got like, you're in like full aero tuck and we're just PTing it down. And I'm like, dude, we are humming and we were flying.
We were keeping like 19 the whole way. Yeah. It was on even on XC tires. It's still,
yeah. You heard the wah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like on the way back, cause it's just flat, constant pedaling on Columns off of Soap Creek Trail. I was like, dude, this sucks. Like literally you're just nonstop pedaling like forever. And I was,
yeah,
my legs were burning cause I had no recovery. And I was like, this is insane.
Yeah, it's very much different. I mean, that's where I came from is after college, got my first actual road bike that got stolen, got another Trek Madone, and I did like all sorts of racing. I did Criteriums, I did Century races. I lived in Chile for 2 years for work, brought the bike down there, saw what like real elevation was. Like we're talking like 5,000 foot climbs. Which is awesome because then you get a 5,000 foot descent. Like I've hit, probably 35, maybe 40 is the max on a mountain bike, but generally you don't have enough straightaway, especially where we live, to get that high speed. On road bikes, it was consistently like 45 to 50 miles an hour on super skinny tires in the drops.
I saw something recently, or no, it's an old video, but it popped up on my YouTube. It was Bobo Goes Road Biking with Bobo.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And on it, Seth from Burn Peak, Seth Bike Hacks, was like, I got a business idea. It's shuttles for roadies. You shuttle them down the hill and then they bike up the climb and you have a shuttle that takes them back down. So all they do is climbing.
Yeah, that would be that's exactly what they want too. Like I was actually reading there was Atlanta Magazine article about Jared's place, and they were, it was Jared and I can't remember the other owner's name.
Josh.
Yeah, he used to like be a Chipotle manager or regional manager, not just a manager. They were talking about like all the natives. They were like, wait, you want to drive up that mountain to go down it, not pedal up it? Like what?
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But
yeah, yeah.
Speaking of the bike stuff, you got your new bike, which I mentioned on the podcast. You got the Rocky Mountain, we call it Barks, the root beer.
Yeah, Barks root beer.
And tell us about it. Tell us all the details of what you got and how it is so far.
Yeah.
Test it out.
Yeah, so took most of the parts from the stump jumper that I had before, the regular Stumpy, not the Stumpy Evo. But got a new fork cuz it needs a 170 fork.
What'd you get?
And then
what fork?
I got a Zeb. That thing's been awesome. Yeah. So it's 170, 160. I sized down. I'm always on the cusp for sizing.
What's it called? What's the bike frame?
The Altitude.
Altitude. Okay.
Yeah. So their last generation, their Altitude, and then their other one was their the Instinct. They're the same frame, but they had a different shock mount, and it gave it two very different like ride characteristics, travel characteristics. In the newer generations, those are two very distinct bikes now. The newer one has the newer Altitude's got like a lower pivot, similar. It looks very much like the VPP platform that Santa Cruz has. But yeah, it's 170, 160 rear. I'm always in between extra large and large. And I went with the XL on the Stumpy and just always felt so stretched out and switched over to a large on this one with a longer stem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been awesome. Running a pretty high stack on the front. I think I've got like 35 millimeters of spacers underneath the stem. And then cool thing about this bike is you can, it's got like the Ride 9 system, which I haven't played with too much, but that changes a lot of the head angle and like the progression rate of the shock. But the other piece I have played with and kept it is the chain stays. You can extend or shorten them by 15 millimeters, which is a pretty huge amount. So stock, it comes like 435. And then I put it in the long position. So I'm sitting at a 450 chainstay, which is big, but like I've got a bit pretty positive ape index. I've got like a 6'5" arm span, but a 6'2" height.
Yeah, you're so, like a freaking eagle or crane or something.
That's yeah, wild. Yeah. I remember when I mentioned it to you, you were like, yeah, your arms are very ape-like. And I was like, yeah. So having that long chainstay helps because like unless I compress my arms more than I want to, I tend to sit off further off the back of the bike just because like that's my body's geometry. So having those long chainstays has been nice because it keeps me more centered in the platform. So yeah, I've been riding it nonstop at Big Creek. Next, I want to get up to Pine once we kind of get through these like summer shower phases that we got. But yeah, I got it really dialed in. The suspension is good. It's running the Zeb up front and X2 out back. It's got XO, SRAM, drivetrain, and then code RSCs for the brakes. And then I've got a Renthal fat bar, the gold one, up front with the matching gold Renthal stem. So it looks, yeah, it's nice. It's got like that reddish copper tone, black, and then the gold bar. So yeah, the matching looks good.
And the tan wall tires.
Oh, tan wall tires too. Yeah. I've had those. Yeah. Those, honestly, I got those Specialized tires cause they were on sale. They were like $50 a pop. And those things have been amazing. I am running Cushcore in the back. Just, I tend to like land heavier on the rear, especially when I'm like going off jumps and stuff, or just put more weight in the rear tire. But those tires have held up for 2 years. Like, no problem. I mean, knock on wood, you know, probably gonna like slash the sidewall next round because I'm saying that, but yeah.
Well, the shakedown rides went well, so you like the bike, it feels great.
Oh dude, love it. Yeah, it feels so it just fits very, very well. Like I tried to match the geometry of that Banshee Titan that I was telling you I was looking at by putting so many spacers under the headset, and like on paper at least all the dimensions are almost one-to-one, but it was the same price for the frame, and it's a carbon fiber frame, so I shaved off like 3 pounds of frame weight, which is huge because the bike, I haven't weighed it yet, but I'd say it probably weighs in at like maybe between 30 and 32 pounds.
Wow, that's light for that.
Yeah, if I put like DT Swiss, you know, the some DT Swiss, like what's their lighter hub, the 240 hubs or whatever, And then some carbon hoops on there. Like, yeah, it would be in the 30 pounds. I think the Rocky Mountain race team was able to get into sub 30 pounds, which I don't really care about for an enduro bike. I don't need it to be that light.
Yeah. Well, do you have any big rides coming up planned?
I've got a weekend ride that I'll do not this weekend because it's Mother's Day and I prefer not to be in the doghouse for the entirety of a year. But the next weekend, going out to Bull Mountain to do Bull, and then maybe one or two of the Ranger trails, just depending on how the group and the legs are feeling. So that'll be the bigger ride. Trying to get to Pine, but yeah, I mean, you know, like the rain and sometimes work schedule just sucks, you know.
Well, yeah, and it's also going to start getting hot, and doing those climbs at Pine in the heat
is yeah.
brutal. But I will tell you, one of the most fun days I had is when you go to Pine in the morning, and then like on a Friday, if you can skip out and pedal Pine to lunch, and then like bring some beverages and some snacks, and go swim the little honey hole at Alatoona, the lake. There's like the little cove right there, right across the parking lot. And dude, it's so much fun.
Yeah. And if you're hungry, there's the McDonald's right there at the end of the highway, or Spur 20 or whatever.
Well, I was going to say, we tried that barbecue place that's right there.
Oh, yeah.
It's freaking unbelievable. I mean, maybe so hungry, but it is actually really good barbecue. And they're pretty quick. So I would highly recommend that. It's a good good day, for sure. And we also have Alez, the lawyer, joining us as well. What's up, dude?
Yeah, what's up, man?
What's up, fellas?
Good morning.
I was late to the party. What frame did you? What bike did you get, Colby?
So Rocky Mountain Altitude. It's a model year 22, maybe 23.
It's a full 29er, right?
Yeah, full 29er. Honestly, like, I loved it. Like, the wheelbase isn't super long. They didn't go super hard into the long, low, and slack mindset, which is interesting because you see a decent amount of manufacturers kind of straying away from the extremes that they were going. But yeah, it's like a 65 head tube angle in the front, can go all the way down to 64 and a half, which, you know, I don't think we have much that is equivalent to Vancouver and North Shore. Like, definitely steeps at Pine, 100%. But if those guys are riding that bike out there with a 65 head tube angle, I think sometimes we make the numbers so much bigger than they actually are.
Yeah. And Alex, I'm glad you're not dead. Alex, for a ride this morning, Colby, before work, because the weatherman said that it wasn't supposed to start until like 9 or 10. And he's on his e-bike ripping soap. And next thing you know, freaking tornado warning rolls in.
Yeah, that's a bold move, man.
Hey, you know, so a little pre-work ride. I started doing it. I dropped the kid off at the bus at 7:15 and just ride on over to Soap. We have showers at the office and that sort of thing. So
nice.
Pretty convenient deal. And I checked the weather this morning. And I was like, it's, you know, it's supposed to start raining at 9:30, thunderstorms. And I was like, you know, I'll be at Soap by 7:45. So I should be good. Can get a quick lap in, be out of there at 8:30, 8:45. And you know, I parked at the lot, the Cochrane Shoals or whatever, right at 285, and I was on the back, the upper loop, and the little connector trail between the two loops. It was like dark, and I was like, "Oh, this is kind of sketchy." And then it lightened back up, and then as I was coming down, finishing up the back loop, it got super dark again, like where you could almost not see the trail, and it was misty, and I was like, oh, I better turbo this out. And so started headed back, and I got to the back, you know, the last 25%, the end of the front loop, the lower loop, and the heavens opened and the wind started. And, you know, there's like trees all down back in there. And I'm just like, you know, praying that a tree does not fall on me. But it was pretty surprising, it never, like, it was never a torrential downpour on the trail. It was just misty. But as soon as I got off the trail, it was like full on raining. And I was like, there's so much tree cover back there that, that it kept it way drier than I thought. But yeah, it was sketchy. I was a little worried about it, but you know, the last 10 minutes there, but it was all good. And you know, at least I got a ride in today. I'm sure the trails will be closed today, and it looks like it's going to rain again tomorrow. So at least I squeezed something in.
Like Sunday, probably, with all this weather we're getting.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. Like, where I live in the Peachtree Corners Norcross area, like, my car literally felt like it was going to flip for the wind. And then when I saw your ride, I was like, oh my God, like, you were so lucky that you are on an e-bike, because you did that in like 40 minutes. Whereas it probably would have taken an hour and you probably would have been screwed.
Yeah. The, I was kind of, so, this is, I haven't done the morning ride too often. I'm going to start doing it a lot more now that it's lighter and getting hotter, but, didn't see a single bike out there. But saw some runners, and they, I passed when it was like downpouring, I passed like three runners, and there was a group of two and then a group of one, and they looked like they're about to shit their pants. I was not envious of them. At least I had a bike and was cooking. But yeah, they were in the thick of it. So weatherman lied. Don't trust the weatherman.
Yeah, we need Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt out there doing some Twister reconnaissance for Twister 2.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how timely of you, with the trailer for Twister 2 dropping.
I was like, maybe I'll put my bike in my car and get lucky. I'm glad I did not. Not a bike day for sure.
But of course, I'm looking out my window now, and you know, not raining, just like cloudy. I see a little bit of blue sky. So yeah, I don't know what's going on.
We're in that point where, like, I was looking at, I have two, like, three different weather apps, and I swear to you, every single one is different. Like, on the hour, like, it's not raining, it's pouring outside. The other one says, you know, it'll rain all day, never rains a drop. Like, they literally are opposite. They say opposite on each weather app. It's mind blowing.
So, not to jump the gun, but what kind of ride you been doing, Josh? It seems like you've been doing a lot of riding, not a whole lot of working. I saw two rides yesterday.
Well,
you getting these multi ride days? What's going on with you?
So yeah, so yesterday, that the thing with that was I did a quick, like, hour ride, one lap of soap between meetings. And like, you have to realize too, like, I'm on calls typically, like, until I get on my bike, and then as soon as I get off my bike, I get back on calls. And then I had a meeting in the afternoon, so I wasn't going to be able to ride. And it was a pretty big meeting, a couple hours, and we're like 10 minutes in the meeting, and they had I work in IT, and so, like, fire drills happen all the time, and they were like, oh, we have a system outage, we have to reschedule. And I'm like, oh, well, there's 2 hours back in my day. And I was like, well, let me go over here to Big Creek. And it was funny, because when I went over there, there were so many people there. I ran into J Mike, who's Atlanta Home Movers, and he's a sponsor of Jared's place, and got to hang out with him. I ran into Ed and a bunch of his buddies, he's on the board with Rambo, and it was his birthday. So happy birthday, Ed. Also goes by the Southern Colombian on Insta. And he was getting some birthday laps at the free ride area. And then I ran into Chris, who is sponsored racer for Fresh Bikes. He's from Venezuela. He was out there trying out his new Norco site with the crazy idlers and super slack big bike. So yeah, there's a lot more people out there trying to get I think everyone was trying to get it in before the rain, and that was my theory. It was like, we're probably not gonna be biking for a while, so get it in when you can. But yeah, I've been doing a lot of different rides. I've actually been doing a lot of South Atlanta rides. Just because my parents are renting a house down there while they're trying to sell their current house. And so it's given me the excuse to try stuff down there. And so I rode around Serenbe a few times, which is a development that has some pretty sweet kind of hush-hush trails back around there. And then I did Cochrane Mill, which was awesome. I mean, I've done it before, but it's been years and I forgot how you can get good elevation out there. And there actually is some sweet rock rolls and slabs and some cool tech.
Yeah.
So I got really lost and ended up at the Nature Center, Bear Creek Nature Center, which is actually really cool. I've never seen that before. And yeah, I think I did pretty much all of those trails, yellow and red trail. And they also have like a green trail. And then maybe I'll do Dirty Sheets and Browns Mill and a couple of the other stuff around there when I'm visiting them. They're down there for a few months. Just the usual blankets, rope, or not rope, blankets, done some chickpea, Simpson wood. Just a lot of local stuff, which has been fun.
We'll have to schedule a time you can take us down to the South Atlanta trails and show us the ropes so we don't get lost.
Although I'm pretty directional,
your day as a haul.
I'm pretty directionally challenged, so I'll still probably get us lost, but apparently there's this really cool trail off Serenbe that a bunch of people told me that I missed. It's called Indian Rock, and it's like awesome, all granite slab, like really steep, cool downhill stuff. So I gotta go back and try to find that. Was able to find some ruins back there, which is really cool, and like just cool. They just have all sorts of random stuff back in the trails at Serenbe, like artwork and it's just neat back there.
It's a cool little community.
Yeah. Speaking of calls, Colby, I know you have a call you got to drop soon, don't you?
Yeah, I gotta jump here.
Okay. I gotta jump at 9:30 too. But wanted to jump on and say hello. You're gonna have to fly solo, it seems. Know me?
Hey, I've done it before. So
split personality, and you just talk to yourself.
Yeah, actually, I notice when I do talk to myself, I talk quieter, and I'm like, and I kind of go all over the place. I talk faster too. It's definitely not as good, but it's doable, folks. It's doable. There's a lot to catch up. Yeah.
Did you end up making it out to Jared's last weekend or last week?
No, I didn't. Wasn't able to do that. I was able to do a ride though with Trent at a blankets, and we did the whole blankets stuff, which was good, but I had my big bike because my shorter bike was in the shop, and that was brutal pushing the shred sled all over blankets, a lot of pedaling, legs were hurting.
But
it was good. It was good to get out there. Good to see Trent because he's not shredding very much these days. Was able to do that. But yeah, definitely itching to get back out to Jared's for sure because it's been a while.
Yeah, I want to try out that new Blue Monkey whenever it's done.
Next week they're opening it.
Sweet. Well, I gotta drop. Good to see y'all guys.
All right, man. I just realized this 9:30 I have is actually not a call I have to attend. So I'll hang out with you some.
Nice.
Yeah, I was looking at the Cochrane Mill.
It's one of those optional calls.
It's more like a feature review, which like it's not as important for me. I don't do the actual implementation.
This is perfect then, because I have some questions. So actually, some of them were submitted by Alice. So I put a post out there and said, "Hey, what do you want to ask the Narnum?" And I got some interesting ones. So I'll let you answer first, and then we'll alternate. But first one
sure,
is.
Yeah.
Rigid seat post or 26 inch wheels? Go.
26 inch wheels.
Yes, that is exactly what I said. Like,
I would rather deal with wheels that like, because I mean, sure, they don't like have the same ability to like roll over stuff as a 29er does, but then it just means you're popping and you're jumping and you're just doing more on the bike, but the seat post is not ramming you in the ass the whole time.
Yeah, it's night and day. Like, it's funny. I have a buddy that just got a new bike and he got used to the dropper, and then he when
Yeah.
it broke and he went back to his old bike and took it out, and he was like, dude, I was terrified the entire ride. I thought I was gonna die. Once you get used to the dropper, I often tell people I use my dropper post lever more than my gear levers. It's just so necessary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, this will even take you on a more ringer then. Rigid seat posts or V brakes?
I'm gonna still go, I'll still go V brakes. My first mountain bike had V brakes, and like honestly, if you've got like that gorilla strength grip, you can get some bite on those.
So I'm gonna go opposite, and this is probably the
Okay.
only thing on the bike I'd go opposite for, because
Yeah.
I love dropper posts. The only reason is because I'm big and I need braking,
That's fair, yeah.
and braking is so crucial and for not dying. So I think that's about brakes are about the only thing on the bike that I would go rigid, and then I would just have to get one of those quick releases so I could drop the seat, kind of thing.
Yeah, I got you.
Other question from the Gnar Nation was post dream ride menu. Oh, so like what is your ultimate after meal thing?
Probably like a huge burrito, Mexican flag style.
God, you just took mine.
Yeah,
I'm obsessed with Mexican, so it has to be that, or fajitas or something along those lines. It has to
yeah.
be like a margar like I like a spicy margarita with some tahini on the rim.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I have another one that came from Austin Nicholas on Instagram. How did you lose so much weight and now look like a chiseled Roman god? That is yeah, that's for mountain biking folks. I owe it all to mountain biking and the occasional indoor rock climbing sesh at Stone Summit. That is how I did it. And then this is actually isn't a question, but it was a comment on one of the Spotify podcasts with Josh. Actually, funny you mentioned Josh. We had him on from Jared's on the last episode, and Jack said Josh, not me, Jared's Josh is one of the coolest and most helpful guys I've ever had the privilege of dealing with. So glad you got him on. And yeah, he is one of the nicest guys out there. So was super pumped to talk with him. Have you listened to that one yet, Colby?
No, not yet. It's I usually listen to him when I'm on my trainer. And I try to avoid my trainer. Not that I try to avoid the podcast, but
It's okay. Did you know also we were talking about new bikes? I don't know if you saw actually, because yeah, you don't have an iPhone, so you're not on our text thread.
no, I'm a green text.
Yeah. But there's two guys that we added to the Nomies of the Gnar Nation group, Bo and a guy named Kaywood, and they both are getting back into biking. They used to do it a lot, and they got new bikes. So Bo got the Ritmo AF.
Nice.
And Kaywood got the Canyon trail bike. What is it? The one above the Lux.
The Neuron?
Yeah.
Yeah, they just redid that. It looks real like lightweight, great do-it-all bike for everything in this area.
Yeah, it's super sweet. And we did a soap loop with them, and yeah, they love it. They, again, guys coming from rigid seat posts, 26ers, they're just like, this is another world.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm
It
sure.
was eye-opening for them. But of course, they're already like, how do we upgrade these things? Because they're gonna trick them out. So Bo already, through sponsor Parcycles, my brother-in-law's bike shop in North Carolina, got a great deal on I9 Hydra hub because he wanted that high
Nice.
engagement.
Yeah, he wanted the beehive.
Yeah, he wants the beehive in the rear. So yeah, that's coming in for him. Got him the hookup, and he's super pumped about that. But I just told him, guys, just ride them for a while. Trust me, they'll all break, and whenever they break, that's
Yeah.
when you upgrade.
That's kind of how I am with like the Lux trail I got. Like, it doesn't have the nicest. It's got like a mix of like some SLX, some XT, you know, not the nicest stuff, but it's like, I'm just going to use it until it breaks and then replace it with the next level or two levels up.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. I recently did some upgrades to my bike. So I had some, my tires were about flat, and no tread, and so my big bike, I got Maxxis just came out with Tanwall for, they used to only have the Recon and the DHF, but they started doing the DHR and the Assegai. So I got a Assegai front and a DHR rear, the classic combo, Tanwall for the Ritmo, and then I got the DHR for the front, a Tanwall, and a Recon rear for the short travel bike. So
nice.
Excited to try those out. And then my PNW remote on my dropper, I hate that remote. Like, I love the action of like Wolf Tooth and Fox. Like, I don't know, it's crisper, smoother, and it's funny, as you ride more you think like, oh, a lever, how can that mean anything? But it's just like, as you ride a ton, you're like, it makes a world of difference, especially when you use it. And my lever was just, those PNWs, I'm not a fan. It was super hard to press. It wasn't really actuating good. And so I got upgraded the Wolf Tooth lever, and it's, man, it's night and day. I feel like it just makes it work better. So
yeah, when things feel great, it makes you ride better. And when things don't work great, that's all you're thinking about. And then you're just pissed off the whole ride.
Yeah. It's true. It gets in your head. It's like, this sucks.
Yeah. I've never ridden on Industry Nines. I've always heard them. I take that back. I've taken a spin on them. And yeah, like those Hydras, the engagement is insane. But most of mine are all, I just love the ease of maintenance for DT Swiss. And I do like the 54 tooth upgrade. I think they actually just came out with like a 90.
They came out with a new hub that's a lot easier to service at Sea Otter.
Yeah, and I think at Sea Otter they were showing they've got another, like an even more upgraded tooth count. I thought I saw it, but maybe I was lying. But yeah, most of mine all have like the 54 tooth, which is like, is it as good as Hydra? Absolutely not. Nothing as good as Hydra.
Like, but here's the trade-off to your point. You have to service Hydras a lot. Like, I've already had to service mine, both of mine, a decent amount for that.
And yeah,
they're a lot more sensitive. Those DT Swiss, hands down, are known as the bulletproof hub. They last for forever. And the wheels too. I mean, honestly, like, they have the best reputation for the best aluminum wheels on the market, like as far as strength for like, especially
in yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, I dented the ones, I think they're like XM 1700, so like a more trail oriented one. But yeah. I dented them, I grabbed a crescent wrench, you know, lined the rim wall back up, and then the bead just sits perfect. Like, yeah.
Yeah, they're known to not be very like innovative. Like, they're not always coming out with new stuff and changing stuff, but they are known to be the best standard nice wheel and hub combo in the market. Hands down. And I
like
think
the
they're
Toyota.
Pretty,
and that's like, yeah, I mean,
affordable too.
Yeah, they are. I mean, you can get a like, weight wise, they're very decent, and price wise, they're very decent as well. Yeah, they're like, they kind of remind me of Toyota. Like, they're not doing anything crazy innovative. They're just like refining the design that they have to make it even better. And then they'll release like something groundbreaking, right? And I just looked it up. Yeah, it's a 90 tooth ratchet system. So they went from 36. I think their lowest maybe is like 14 or something, but there's 36, and then there's 54, and now there's 90. So you're getting pretty high engagement points. I mean, that's like, that's, it just goes to show, like, there's still so much, there's so many leaps and bounds that we can make in like CNC and machined parts that, like, we're just still kind of you know, scratching the surface based on like what materials are available to us, new alloy mixtures, et cetera. Like that's what I love about this sport is it's not just about like, you know, the physically fit nature of it. There's such an engineering side to it that for, with the exception of e-bikes, right? And even e-bikes still, like they use a lot of the same parts. For a mostly analog machine, there's so many jumps in technology that we've made in the past, like even 10 years. Like you think of a 10-year-old mountain bike and like you think of a 10-year-old mountain bike and you scoff. You're like, no, I wouldn't ride that. Like, absolutely not. Reach numbers are all messed up. Head tube angle is crazy. Chain stays are too short. It's probably got some weird tire like ratio on it. Yeah, the engineering side of the sport is such a fascinating piece.
Since you just talked about engineering, one of the weirdest engineering companies out there that just has these polarizing looking bikes, Pole.
Oh yeah.
They just went under.
Yeah, are they out of Poland?
I don't know. It's a good question. That would make sense. I know they're European based because
yeah,
they have an accent. I listened to one of his postings around having to shut down the company. He was super bummed. But yeah, man, another one bites the dust.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, okay. I remember these. They've got almost the same look as the I don't know if you ever remember or saw Orange.
Yeah.
Bikes. Yeah. That very similar, like single pivot look in the back. Like, yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a pole bike in person. Like I always hear about them on Pink Bike or Enduro MTB and like see them there, but I don't think I've ever actually seen one in person. Now that I'm looking at them on their website, they are wild. Like there's no chain stay. It's just like this massive seat stay with these two swing arms and a rocker link. Like I don't even know how this thing works.
I know, isn't it weird?
The bottom bracket is just kind of like floating there by itself. Like this is a very wild looking bike.
It's bizarre. It's super bizarre. But yeah. I was with who's I with? I was with a buddy on his new Stump Jumper Evo. Oh, Brady, the pilot.
And yeah,
he's been getting that thing dialed. And so, you know, we have this growing debate amongst our group, right? The clip-in guys versus, or the clipless guys versus the flats. And
yeah,
he's always been a clip guy. And lo and behold, we're sitting at the top of Big Creek and he was clipped in and literally he was standing still and fell over. And like hurt his knee pretty bad. And I'm like, bro,
well, that's not good. I'm sorry. I'm laughing, but
I told you, I done told you. No, I was laughing. I was like, you got to go flats, bro. And he was like, God, he's like, it happens once a year. And so I got it out of the way. I'm done now. It happens only once a year.
Yeah, man. I've pretty much always, I mean, I'll switch to flat sometimes just to like, especially if I go do like some jumping, cause I'm not great at jumps. It's something that's like very much a mental hurdle that I still have to get over. But usually I'll switch to flats on jumps just because it gives a little bit more confidence in the fact that I can bail easier. But generally I'm always clipless just because I rode road bikes and if you get on a road bike and you ride it clipless and then try to go back to flats, you would immediately be like, absolutely not. Like I will never ride flats on a road bike. But that sport is so much about like power transfer. You can pull up at the same time as you're pushing down. And then just having like, I don't know, being able to do like a track stand and a stoplight and stuff. I got enough confidence, but I still have those moments where like, I forget I'm clipped in and I'll fall down like standing still. Like it happens to all of us. I've done it at stoplights before and just been like, oh my God, dude, can somebody scrape my dignity off the ground, please?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I did it when I rode clips for a couple of years and yeah, definitely happened to me. I'll tell you, I wish I had them though. When I was riding with Igor the Great, and he was one of the podcast episodes. Check it out if folks out there haven't listened to it. It's actually one of the most listened to podcast episodes I have. Believe it or not, it was Igor's, and that guy's the Roosting King. And he, I wish I had clips on when I was doing this, but we were doing like roosting lessons and just like control of whipping around the bike. And that guy is amazing. He actually, we were at Big Creek and we were on this one turn and we were sessioning it over and over. He was trying to teach me and he was like, I was like, yeah, but you go so fast. So you just, you have the confidence and you just whip it around. He's like, watch, I'll do the slowest roost you've ever seen. And he literally went in a snail's pace and just shroud
the still corner.
And I was like, it's amazing. It's such a confidence thing. And Alex and I were trying to repeat it. And you know, I think Igor was just being nice, but he was like, yeah, you kicked up a little dirt. There you go. You're getting better. And
nice, know, yeah.
Yes.
It's one of those things in mountain biking, all of them, right? It takes like 1,000 repetitions until you finally are like, you feel it, there's so much, there's setup, there's body language, there's so much. And it's one of those things where like you finally get it.
Yeah. Actually someone posted on Jared's that, you know, they have all these jump jams and all this stuff out there. Like,
yeah.
They're like, you need to do a roost off. I was like, yes. How cool would that be?
Oh dude. Yeah. Sometimes people can like the consequences of roosting, especially on a berm, can be so high. Cause like if you roost off, literally roost off the berm, like you go in too hot and your roost goes in too high and you slip off the side, like you just have so many G forces going through that. You hit the top of that berm so hard. It hurts.
Oh yeah. I mean, I just posted one of Josh from Jared's doing one and he almost lost it and he like full bar humped and like had to like hold it together. But yeah, you either high side or low side. And when you high side, that's a bad day. So yeah, I don't, that's what goes through my head. Honestly, it's like, I really don't want to fall, but I fell this past week just again on the stupidest stuff. So I'm riding my, short travel, which I put shorter cranks on my long travel. And I definitely want to do it now on my short travel, cause I've noticed the difference.
Mm-hmm. There's like
175s on my Alchemy and I have 165s on my Ritmo and it makes a huge difference for me. And I freaking was on at the wood, just pedaling along on like a green kind of XC trail. And I was bok chicken and I clipped a root, a pedal clipped and just freaking bar humped, hands slipped off, went end over end, tuck roll. And like, my whole body is sore from it. It's like ribs, it's neck, it's back. It's like, it was just like a full disaster. And it's those pedal clips, man, will get you because you're not even expecting it. That's the worst part is when it happens.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
But that's just part of it. That's part of the ride. Oh, your boy, by the way, is doing some big rides. Dude, freaking Jank Johnson is on fire these days.
Yeah, he's got
Trent was actually like, Trent was like, he took my place. He's doing all these massive weekday rides. Did he get fired?
Yeah, he's doing ORAM in July, which is off-road assault on Mount Mitchell, and it's, let me see the elevation profile.
Dude, I know Mount Mitchell. That was right near my mountain house I grew up going to, and like a little shack.
Yeah,
river. That's massive.
It's 60 miles, 10,500 feet of elevation. So you're doing like Heartbreak, Kitsuma, what is it, Staircase Gap or Stair Gap? I can't remember the Star Gap, maybe. I can't remember the name of that route right there. Yeah, let's see. Looking at it right now. Yeah, it's
so he's training for that basically. That's, I was wondering why he's, because he's done some big races. He did like some huge Ranger rides, then he did Stanley Gap with some, you know, sweet new kind of trails, Wabbit Season and Green Lantern,
yeah,
and some other stuff like Matt 7,000 foot elevation days, and it's like,
yeah,
it's like a Wednesday, and it's like, holy crap.
Yeah, he I was like, dude, what? Yeah, his work schedule has been very kind to him, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, that's next level stuff.
Dude, I'm trying to find Planet Cycler is going out of business and they have so much stuff on sale, but all the stuff they have on sale is not what I need. Like, they're like, oh, we've got an XDR 2x shifter. I'm like, I don't need a 2x shifter. I don't know who needs
Planet Cycler?
They were a big company based out of Colorado that carried a ton of bike components, parts, etc. And then are recently going out of business, unfortunately.
Of course, like half of them.
Yeah, man, it's that never-ending bleeding that that has just has been nonstop. Like Kona.
Oh, that's right. Kona, they pulled it. That was so awkward. They pulled out a Sea Otter during the show. They're like showing their new bike, and then the manager comes over and they're like, no, we're not selling this bike. Take it down and take the whole booth down, actually. And they're like, what?
Yeah, I can't remember whether it is they got rebought or...
No, they put it up for sale. So basically they're on the chopping block. Either they're going to go out of business or someone has to buy them in a fire drill sale.
Yeah, they make some cool bikes. It's just that they're not big out here. I know one person who rides one, and
I had a Kona Hanzo hardtail that I really loved.
Will had a Hanzo as well too.
Yeah. It was a bad sign when they were doing a buy one get one free, which a couple of the brethren took them up on.
Yeah,
got two bikes for $3,000. two like Process 151.
Yeah, they got the Process 529s or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
No, never is. The Bike Doctor is doing great. I mean, because they're all a service-based company. Hashtag sponsored.
Nice, yeah.
Sponsored, and I was in there, and they were like, "Dude, we got the best idea for you," because I break my stuff all the time, and they were like, "You need to create shirts that say, born to ride, forced to maintain."
I saw that.
Or born to ride, forced to repair. And it's basically like they said that you would have like a Narnome shredding on a mountain bike, and then you'd have the Bike Doctor just chasing him down with a stethoscope being like, get back here.
Yeah, I can already see it. There's like spokes flying off the back wheel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Story.
Yeah, you broke another spoke recently, right?
Yes. It's freaking annoying. And of course I break it where you can't just repair it. Like, you can't just replace the spoke. You got to take it all apart, take off the rim, repair it with sealant tape, put the spoke in. Like, it's the whole kit and caboodle.
Are they 32 or 28 hole? I'd assume probably 32.
32. Yeah. Cause I had 28 hole on my old wheel set. And then I broke shit all the time. Like that was bad. Yeah. And,
That means you get to break four until you're at like really bad structural integrity, right? Isn't that how that works when you have 32?
Yeah, so that's what I thought one time. And so I was like, let me see how far I can go. And I quickly learned that doesn't work at all. because once you break one, they all just start pinging. And it's a waterfall effect. And of course, the bike doctor gave me crap that time. Or like, yeah, you've broken five, and I know they didn't all break at once. You definitely tried to ride it. And I was like, oh yeah, I tried to see how far I can go. And they're like, now we have to rebuild your entire wheel. Congratulations.
Yeah. Just treat it like you were an enduro racer.
Yeah, exactly. I told them I want to go back to those mag wheels. Like, I don't know.
I had mag wheels on BMX bike, like five big giant plastic spokes.
Yes. Yes. And like, I remember is one of my favorite shows when I was a kid. This may be too underground, but it was called Pacific Blue. It was essentially,
I don't know that one. Yeah.
It was on USA. It was like Baywatch, but there were mountain bike cops. And
I'm seeing. Yeah. I see the
dude. It was, you got to go watch it. I think you can find old episodes on YouTube. It is so cheesy, but
it's got Mario Lopez in it. Of course I'm going to watch it.
Hell yeah. Saved by the Bell, baby. And they just like cruise the streets, and like they would basically find like bank robbers, and then they would be on their mag wheel mountain bikes, and they'd be doing like track stand bunny hops. And then they'd like,
oh, I love it.
I'd kick them with their rear wheel and knock out a bank robber. And stuff. Dude, that's why I was like, dude, Bike Doctor, like, why don't we go back to these? Then you don't freaking break a spoke. You just have this giant plastic thing that's like indestructible. And they're like, yeah, I don't know why we haven't seen those come back.
I think they were super heavy. And I think it was because the whole mindset is like, when they did break, there was no servicing. at all. Like,
yeah,
if and when it broke, it was donezo.
Yeah.
I never broke one, so
yeah,
maybe that was the wheel industry being like, no, we shouldn't do this, you guys will regret it more. And then we were like secretly like, wait, we don't regret it. Every once in a while, like I've been doing a little more road riding, even on the XC bike. I'll just go out on like some of the Buckhead loops and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'll see some guys with road wheels. Like, you can still find they're carbon fiber, but they're huge, like three spoke, in essence, mag wheels.
Mm-hmm.
It's always like a nice little blast from the past.
Yeah, there was funny. So the Huli Duro happened this past weekend, and I was bummed because I got an invite and I couldn't go. I had family obligations, typical on a Saturday, and it rained.
Yeah.
It rained, and I was worried for him, but it actually created hero dirt because the rain stopped early. And one of the guys that showed up, I saw some pictures. The theme was gravel's really big this year, so everyone show up in your nicest gravel attire. Of course, this is an enduro race.
I saw people like in ties and all sorts. Yeah.
Yeah, well, they had so this one guy showed up in full Lycra, and he made a solid rear wheel on his enduro bike. Like, what's that? You know, like when they do time trials and they have like
it's just a big saucer, but I don't know the name of it. But yeah, so you'll be time trials and triathlons, yeah.
So he basically like built a saucer on top of his wheels to look like a tie bike, like a tri bike. And
that's awesome.
And he was a shredder. But dude, if you go on Facebook, look up like Huli Duro, Dirty Sanchez 24, mm-hmm. 24 or whatever group, they put up all the videos and they're hooting and hollering and just ridiculous. And there's some wrecks on there. It was quite entertaining.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Nick flew back from the PNW for it because he was the original trail builder of it, one of them, and he raced it and he won.
Oh, nice!
Yeah.
Even with the time change, even with the jet lag, that man can't be stopped.
I saved the heat map, so we got to do a Nomi ride one day to
an expedition ride.
Yeah, to do the Huli Duro. I just need to, like, I hate looking at my phone and trying to figure out heat maps when I'm riding. It's so annoying. But if I can
is this when you shamelessly plug in your sponsor Quadlock?
Yeah.
But with Quadlock, I can now look like a total douche because I've got my phone on my mountain bike. Click affiliate link here.
So yeah, funny enough, I wish I had a freaking quad lock for those rides because I had to pull my one-handed phone out all the time. But it's true. Like, when you do have that, you're like, oh, that's so bad. Actually, the worst is if you have the quad lock with the phone and you're blaring music out of your phone while you're riding.
Oh, God. Yeah. 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 Please don't.
I just imagine like these giant iPhones and like you freaking bar hump and fall. That's a bad day for you and your phone.
Yeah, I never really got like Chris Froome was advertising for them and Jack Moore was advertising for them. And I was like, you know, if I was on like a commuter bike or something, totally get it. But that's an 800, you know, I guess you could get cheaper phones, right? Let's say like on average, that's a $500 piece of equipment that's just so exposed.
Yeah, terrifying. It just looks weird. Very, very.
Yeah.
I saw something weird on the trail. Did you see the video I posted of the giant turtle, ninja turtle?
Yeah. I heard it knew karate and kicked your ass.
Dude, this thing was huge. Like, it's not like your little box turtle. This thing was massive. And even people were like, wow, that's the biggest turtle I've ever seen. And the video didn't do it justice. And I tried to do my good part and get it right off the trail so it didn't get smashed. And, you know, when you pick up a turtle, they go in. Like, they always get scared and go in. No, this one went out, and it had claws the size of a freaking hawk. And it was, like, trying to grab my hands. And I was like, oh, and his head was turning around. And, of course, like, on video, it just looks like I'm a squeamish person. Because Brady, you know, this is right after Brady fell on his clips. Lucky I didn't get a video of that. He was like, oh, I gotta post this to the group. And
of course, yeah.
And it was trying to kill me, but I got it off and I was worried I was gonna lose a finger. But yeah, that was next level. A lot of turtles out and snakes out this time of year.
Yeah, man, tons of snakes. We actually found my wife and I, we were doing a little stroller roller with the running stroller, and we were over at Columns on the gravel loop, and like we saw this little tiny black circle. It was like maybe the size of like a half dollar, and I was like, what the hell is that? And it was a little baby alligator snapping turtle, you know, like the ones that have the really long tails and just look like a prehistoric monster. It was a baby version of those. I was like, man, you start off so cute, like what happens? So we escorted said dinosaur off the trail. Yeah. Oh man, I got a call here though. I got to jump, but I enjoyed the time.
Yeah, dude. All right. Peace be the journey.
You as well. Later.
So yeah, folks. We got through a lot of good update stuff. I really want to get Murray, the El Chapo, and David Murray, his brother, and Chuck on the podcast, because they're training for Leadville right now and they've started picking up the training schedule. So good on you guys. They've been doing some big rides, some gravel races, definitely some bigger rides. And I think they're on track to hopefully get that buckle come later this year. So that'll be cool. And then I've already talked about the shorties race that was really good that Rambo put on, but I failed to mention they had a unicycle race. Like, how cool is that to be able to see guys on unicycles doing single track racing? It was pretty wild. And while we're on the topic of Big Creek, be on the lookout. The drop zone, I think, is about to open pretty soon. It's their new drop skills progression area right next to the pump track. So that will be really cool to try. And then I think I also quickly mentioned South Carolina is opening a new bike park, and then Pigeon Forge, Tennessee is opening a new bike park. So they're popping up everywhere, which is really cool to see. Be on the lookout for those opening dates. I think it's sometime this summer that they both open. Let's see, what else have I noticed? I think the big popular thing I've been hearing a lot of is folks asking me where to take kids getting into biking, or newbies into biking. And I thought a lot about it, and I think actually one of the best places is Rope Mill. The Mills Trails, that in particular, don't take them to Avalanche, don't take them to Explorer Trails. The Mills Trails are very flowy, not too hard to climb, and they're very smooth and fun. So you still get some good downhill descents, but no chunk, and they get to have fun on like the roller coaster rollers, but they don't have the horrible climbs, and it's pretty short, and they have a couple of loops. So that would be my top suggestion. From there, I would say Soap Creek, but just do like one of the figure eight loops is another option. And then Big Creek, you know, with their skills area now that they have, as well as the Green Trail. I think those are my top ones. Or you could go to Blankets and do Mosquito Loop, or you can do a half loop of Dwelling. So I think there's a bunch of them around, but I think definitely the Mills flow trails at Rope are good beginner trails to take your kids. So there's a lot more of the brethren and Nomies taking their kids out. We had a massive dirt church Grom ride out at Big Creek on the Green Trail in the skills area. I think we had a train of like 15 kids and a couple dads chaperoning them through the woods. It was pretty funny to see a party train of kids. And apologies to all the riders that were out there trying to get their KOMs. We had a lot of traffic jams because of it, but I think everyone was in support to see all the kids out there having fun. Also, note to you all out there, wear riding glasses. I forgot mine one day and I forgot how crucial they are. I got so much crap in my eyes, I could barely see, and I had to flush them out afterwards. They are really crucial, and you can get them pretty cheap, just some work glasses at Ace. But that was something I learned the hard way. And then just a couple quick shout outs. Eric Hagen in there. He is on Instagram, and he's a funny fellow to follow, Eric Hagan. He came out with a good one. I like to ride my visor high, tipped up, and he does too. And he says, the higher the visor, the closer to Jesus. Amen. So that's word to the wise. Keep those visors high, folks, on them helmets. And then the only other word of advice I got was from an old man hiking at Soap Creek, and he had a sweet shirt on. It said, keep calm and roll fatties. That's right. We're past 420, but, you know, could be some advice to take him up on. Those old folks have some wisdom. And he looked healthy, too. Looked like he didn't eat too many munchies. So I've already talked about one of our sponsors, ParCycles, who hooked up Bo with his i9 Hydra Hub at a great price. You guys reach out to me if you're looking for any parts, and I can try to hook you up with a good deal on that, as well as Fox. Go out and get your Fox suspension, Fox Factory, and if you get anything for them, tell them the Narnomi sent you. And maybe they'll treat you good, maybe they won't. I don't know. That's kind of a semi-sponsor. Same with SpokeX. If you want some of the best carbon wheels with those beautiful i9 hubs, and you get to customize the colors and everything, and you can get a set for real cheap, and you don't have to spend $2,000 on a carbon wheel set, go there and tell Hunter, the owner, I sent you the Narnomi, and maybe he'll hook you up as well. And then the Bike Doctor, always, if you need any service on your bike, go see the Bike Doctor in Norcross and tell him the Narnomi sent you. And then, of course, we have Senior Shreddy with his Airbnb in Brevard. If you're looking for a great place to stay for Pisgah and DuPont, hit me up and I'll put you in touch with them for a great deal on that. Narnomies 5 is the code. Narnomies, the number 5, is the code on the Jared's Place website if you want $5 off of your day pass. And when you get there, tell them that Narnomies sent you as well. Maybe they'll give you some goodies. And then all of the Narnomi swag, all the merch we have. So we have the hats, the jerseys, the t-shirts, 2 different t-shirts, the hoodies, they're all on sale, $10 off, no Easter egg. Just DM me on Instagram if you want some, or if you see me at the trail, ask me and I have them in the back of my truck. I can do Venmo, cash. I can ship them to you. I can meet you if you're in the Atlanta area. Trying to get out of this last line we had so we can order a new summer line, which we have some good ideas for, as you've heard here on the podcast. And then you can also email me at narnomies@gmail.com. Please go to Instagram, like, follow, subscribe, share Narnomies MTB podcast. And then also if you're on Spotify or Apple or whatever, rate it, comment, follow it. There's even a place to tip me. You can do a little tip jar in the link there, which some folks have, which is really great. All it does is go back to support the merch and the channel and everything like that. Oh, and I do have stickers too, and those are free. So if you see me, I'll hook you up with some stickers. So don't feel like I'll charge you for those. And yeah, I think that about wraps up all of the things I wanted to talk about to get caught up as far as, you know, what's coming up in the future. Hope to get out to Jared's again. So if any folks want to get out there, let me know. And we've got a pretty busy schedule with school wrapping up and everything like that. And we're hitting summertime with the kids, but we do have a ride planned in June. On June 6th and 7th, we're going to Stanley Gap. Hope to see some of you out there. Should be a fun ride. We pushed it back from May to June 6th and 7th. So we're hoping to have some fun there. I think the first day we're going to do the traditional Stanley Gap ride with maybe some other stuff added in, then some lake time, and then the next day some downhill. We got a little private downhill shuttle park that we're going to get hooked up on, I think, which should be fun. And let me see if I'm missing anything. No, I think that is about it. So, yeah. I guess personally, I'm going on a work trip to Las Vegas, which I'm really excited about. I'm not excited about the work trip. I'm excited about the fact that I get to sneak away for one afternoon during the work trip when I have some free time. And I rented an e-bike, and going to be doing Bootleg Canyon. So I hear it's pretty gnarly, some pretty steep trails. Hopefully everything goes okay. I'll take it easy, but excited to just try some more desert riding and see that different landscape. And I hear it's really beautiful out there. Some of the brethren have done it and said it's really cool. So I got the e-bike, which I don't normally do, but I want to cover a lot of ground and see a lot of things and get a lot of trails. And when I called the shop, they were like, yeah, it's a no-brainer, $100 and includes insurance and everything. And, you know, you'll be able to check it all out. So I'll give you a ride update when I get back from that trip as well. So it's always cool to check out a different territory on the bike. So that is it, my fellow NAR Nation of the NAR Nomies. Thank you for listening to episode 49 of the NAR Nomies podcast. I'm your host, as always, Josh, signing off with the usual, go out and search for your ultimate Narvana now get.